Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. That's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable, talk about some weird stuff, and just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
Yeah. You know, welcome everybody to episode 2 of After Hours with the Rise Guys. I'm Matt Man. He's 9.
Hey, man, we're back. Episode 2. We didn't get canceled after episode 1 because nobody understood what we were talking about.
Some people did.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, P1 Sean the Bomb knew exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, he did.
He knew about astro projections.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of messages about the dog from the Jetsons after last week's episode.
It was really strange how that all happened,
mm-hmm. How
that all worked out.
Very unusual.
Yeah. I'll remind you that's our boss man, Mark Hendricks, with the intro. I won't do that every episode, but after the first episode, a lot of people were like, was that really Mark Hendricks?
Is that really him? Yeah, that's him. He does stuff like that. He has a, you know what, back in my day, you had to have a voice to get in the radio. Yeah.
What's odd, and I don't know this to be true, but I dare think Mark Hendricks has never smoked a cigarette or a cigar or anything in his life, yet he has that rasp.
I don't know that he's ever even had much whiskey to drink, man. And that's what usually cigarettes and whiskey. And like
road sodas only.
Yeah, and cocaine and hard drugs and stuff does that to people, but he just does his barley pops and
barley
calls it
pop.
A night.
Oh, man. I love it. And we love you for listening to this new show, this new... It's not a new concept.
No. No, it's just a new podcast with us. Oh, you got a cough. Into your elbow, thank you.
Yeah, well, I had to lean away.
Still a pandemic.
Yeah, still going on. Lord knows.
Yeah. But it's not a new concept. You're right about that.
Not a new concept. It's just, it's the morning show with more leniency.
Yeah, well, it's just different stuff to talk about. You know, stuff that didn't get to in the morning, stuff that takes longer. It's a little different, but it isn't a new concept because, well, honestly, people who say, yeah, it's a new concept in anything, they're just, at this point, kind of lying to themselves.
Right, of course.
And lying to you.
I will share with you, Jimmy Jack Jackie, and those listening, some of the response to last week's episode
okay.
1.
Okay.
Rusty Shackelford said, loved it. Look forward to more episodes. I scroll down. I see Rob Cocker. Coker?
Mm-hmm.
C-O-C-H-E-R. If it was just Coke, it would be no E-R on it. But that's not...
What?
Look at that.
Okay, I'm just trying to get back to what you were saying about
the name.
Remember
the guy that played for Clemson? He was a pitcher. He went on to play for the Toronto Blue Jays, and his name was Billy Coke?
Yeah.
But it was K-O-C-H.
Yeah, yeah.
But you add an E-R on it, and then it's not Coker, it's Kocher.
Or it could be Coker.
Rob, respond to that. But anyway, Rob
probably
K.
Probably Coker.
Let's call him Rob K.
Could be Cocker.
Oh, no, it's signed. P1 Irish Rob. There we go.
Yeah. It could be. You know how I would pronounce that, given that spelling? It's Cocker.
Okay. How did Joe Cocker spell his?
C-O-C-K-E-R.
Like the Spaniels.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rob says, can't find After Hours on the Apple Podcast. Do I have to download another app? Great question. Maybe. I don't know your phone. It will be soon available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, And likely Spotify if they want to throw some money on it.
Yeah, and radio.com will always be the home, the flagship of where to find us, both the Rise Guys Morning Show and After Hours with the Rise Guys.
You know, generally speaking, a lot of good response to it. People enjoyed it.
Yeah, a lot of people who thought it sucked, we just didn't hear from, or they liked it.
Yeah, or, you know, Fat Boy.
Yeah, well, he didn't like it because he wasn't on it. He's got a bigger ego than he lets on.
You think so?
Dude, I'll tell you this. I think that, and this
bigger
is
than Rob Kocher?
Yeah, this is a shoot from the heart.
Oh, wow.
I think in the morning, on the morning show, we might have the two smallest egos in the room, which is the polar opposite of what anybody else would say.
How you think?
Because I know the other two.
Okay, but yeah, but let me go with the latter first.
Okay.
You think that people think, those listening, P1s and whatnot,
yeah,
that you and I, Nine, have the biggest egos in the room?
Yeah, I don't think we do, though. I think they have bigger egos than us.
Yeah, but why do you think people think we have the biggest egos?
Because they see our faces on beer cans and stuff.
But that was it.
They don't know.
I mean,
they
I'm fine with it.
On it. I'm not saying it's bad they think that. It's just probably the impression they
get. But I don't want to give that impression.
Well, it's hard not to.
Thank you. but let's just stick with Fat Boy exclusively.
Yeah, that'd be for the best.
And I don't want to talk about him behind his back, but he's already at home.
Yeah, he is.
What is it you think he has a bigger ego than he's letting on?
With him, it isn't necessarily like a true ego. It's just that
it's
hard to explain him. It's really hard to explain him.
He's an enigma.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying that in some cool, like, Jim Morrison, Jeff Hardy kind of way.
Yeah, you see the way he gets going on some stuff. Like, he thinks that if he had pursued basketball, he would have gotten a Division I scholarship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he thinks if he had tried, he would have been that good. You know what I mean? That's an ego.
Right.
It's a hell of an ego.
Hmm. I never thought about it that way. But generally speaking, everyone enjoyed the new show, so thank you. And also, while you're listening to this, or after, or whatever. You know, look, you retweet the silliest videos and the dumbest memes ever.
Mm-hmm.
Retweet this, throw it out there, or pass it on to somebody who likes podcasts.
Yeah, every listen, every download means something to us, monetarily speaking.
It really does.
So we appreciate it if you want to spread the word, share the show, share After Hours with the Rise Guys. We also want you to get in touch with us.
Right. Yes, you can email us theriseguys@aol.com. Or contact us on social media, just like Rob Kocher did.
Yeah, we're at The Rise Guys on your Twitter and your Instagram, and we're Facebook.com/Rise Guys if you want to find us there.
Hit us up there. And if you're just finding us out there in app world or podcast world, we do a regular morning show on 93.3 The Planet in Greenville from 6 to 10 on Mondays.
Yep.
If you're ever just tuning through and you hear like a hey baby kind of thing, that's my mama. She calls me baby.
Yeah, she does.
What is Moose, Nine? Let me explain that. Moose is a nickname for your mom.
For my mom, yeah.
What does she call you? Son?
I guess son.
Hey, son.
I don't really pay attention when people talk much.
Hey, babe.
It's kind of a problem of mine.
Oh, Lord. I thought I was the only one.
No, no.
Now, what did you just say?
I don't pay attention much when people talk, including my own mother. I'm not very nice as a person.
I tell you what I'm guilty of as a you-know-what. Son of a bitch, that I'll ask somebody, hey, what is your name? And I totally don't listen to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll say, hey, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
And then they say it, and then I'm off, and I'm thinking of the next question before I'm listening to their answer.
Yeah, well, here's two things I don't do. If I ask somebody what their name is, I've gotten deep enough into a conversation to actually care, and then I pay attention. Otherwise, I don't ask. And I never care what they do for a living, usually.
Well, the only reason I'm saying with that is I typically do because I'm not a selfish prick as yourself.
Yeah.
And
I talk to you. I just don't care what your name is till I decide I care.
Yeah, but I hate talking about radio.
Yeah, I do too.
I hate talking about the show. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm glad, like, if you have questions, you see me out or whatever.
But it's not all I want to talk about.
No, I try to.
I don't talk to you about pipe fitting.
Well, yeah, I will. Like, if you, you know, I'll say, hey, what do you do? And that's my spin to ask them a bunch of questions about whatever they do.
Yeah.
It's kind of my move. I said now people will know.
Yeah. I guess I just have, I don't know what I talk about with people. I talk to people, and we talk about things.
Yeah.
But I have people I see regularly in my life, or at least I did before the pandemic. I don't know their names. I have no idea what they do. I don't know anything about them. But I've spent a lot of time talking to them about things.
They're just known as Dude Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, a number of people. I mean, dozens of people.
Yeah.
I just don't know who they are. Just talk to them.
We're not the only ones, surely.
I enjoy their company, but I don't know them.
I have to, if there's people's names that I really have to remember, I find ways to do it. For instance, my next door neighbor, his name, I use, I reference it with a expletive in a movie called 21 Jump Street.
Okay.
Blank you.
Yeah.
That's his name.
What's up, neighbor Doug?
His name's not Blank you, no.
It's Doug.
His name's Doug.
Yeah.
That's the way I remember it. So in my mind, when I see him, like, what's his name? Blank you, Doug.
Well, you know how I remember my neighbor's name?
I'm going to slip up one day and say that, though.
You might.
How do you remember your neighbor's name?
Well, my neighbor's name is Mr. Haygood.
Yeah.
So I call him Mr. Haygood.
That's the way to remember it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty wise move. I'm a weirdo.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Mr. Haygood has the same first name as me. And then there's a guy next door to me.
His name is Nine Haygood.
No, his name is James Haygood.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy next door to me. His name is Jimmy. And then there's a guy across the street from me. His name is James. There's me. There's four of us on the same block.
I don't like that.
We're right. The house is all, we're right there together. Four houses in a row. Same
Good
name.
Lord. Yeah. Edrin James lives on the next street.
He does.
It's his lake house.
We ain't got that kind of money, don't lie.
That's nice to think about, though. If you spread this podcast around, it could certainly happen.
Yeah. Baby. Yeah. What's Edrin James memorabilia going for these days?
Not very
Is there
much.
A market?
Not very much.
You have to be like a big Miami fan, probably. University of?
Yeah, University of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad, man. It's sad. Even with like Andrew Luck, like once Peyton left, like all the value of that team memorabilia wise out the door.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
It's not a weird. I'm just sitting here thinking about my mom now. You know what we should do? Speak of the guy that will remain unnamed because he will sit here and get off being mentioned on this show. Fanboy.
Yeah.
Come on, fanboy.
Oh, he loves being talked about. This is, again, that ego.
I should take that first show, episode one, where we're talking about the time travel and astral projection and all that, and just put headphones on my mama and let her listen to it.
What if she fell asleep? You'd feel so insulted.
You know, it's funny you say that. One of the first masseurs that I went to see to get a massage,
mm-hmm.
I fell asleep during it. And I was, when I woke, she like, you know, hey, shook me or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, we're done. I sat there and I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, are you kidding me?
Why would you apologize?
She said, that is the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
I put you at complete relaxation.
Yeah.
I said, well, and I am a narcoleptic too.
And then you had to pay for the happy ending. You didn't know if you got it or not.
Oh, no, I didn't have a clue. She could have charged me for it and I wouldn't have known. But yeah, we put the headphones on Mary and then get her to answer some questions.
That'd be good.
See, or ask questions and we could answer them for her and vice versa.
See, I'm glad you're like that because I'm not. I don't like when my mom listens because she'll ask me questions about things we've talked about and I don't care to discuss them with her.
Staying on the same road here because some people said we jumped around a lot episode one.
Yeah.
But I've noticed of all the years, I especially know it on Mother's Day, that now FB has his whole situation with his mom. That's not a...
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's different.
Paige's mother has now passed away, but she was alive up until a couple years ago. Now, Jimmy, your mom is still alive and well, yet she never makes any appearances on the show.
No.
Do you keep her away just so she won't say any embarrassing things like my mom will do?
No, it isn't that. It's just she doesn't get up early or have anything to say, and I'd rather not have her on.
She doesn't have anything to say about anything?
No. Most of our phone conversations are less than 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
And when my mother on the phone, less than 30 seconds per call. Think about that.
I would love that.
It's pretty incredible.
I'd love for my mom to be able to text.
Yeah, did you have a good day? Yeah, what'd you do today? Nothing.
Went to work.
Ate. I'm going to get something to eat right now. I mean, that's just, when I talk to her, she's either on her way to get something to eat, or she just ate, or she just got up, or she's going to bed, and that's it.
Boy, that's the mama thing.
Yeah.
That will, if I'm ready to get off the phone, she'll say, What you going to have for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
And I'm like, sometimes I don't know. I will just make up an answer just to progress the conversation. I like pork chops.
Yeah.
You having pork chops again?
I'm pretty sure my mom spends 25% of her day getting out of bed, 25% of her day going to bed, 25% eating, and 25% worrying about me for no reason.
It's like being on vacation.
Yeah.
Minus the shopping.
Yeah. Yeah, it pretty much is.
But when I say that when my mom is on the Rise Guys morning show and that she's embarrassing, it's I'm embarrassed by some of the things she says. Not that what she says is embarrassing. Like, she might say something funny about me or embarrassing about me or,
yeah,
you know, the now infamous eighth grade photo.
Yeah. Well,
she made that possible.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't mind when my mom says embarrassing things, like the time I was on and she mentioned something about jerking off on a cat. But like, I didn't mind that. It's a funny story. We'll get to on another podcast. It was nothing intentional. Don't worry. It was a purely accidental thing.
No. Yeah, sure.
We'll get to that story another time.
Oh, yeah. Well, only if we can do the litter box story along with
it. Yeah, we can do that, too.
But, you know, she'll say things that are embarrassing to me because it's like, you talk about the ego. Like, I don't have one. I really, really don't. Like, I really, really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But she will kind of chip away at that. Kind of like the old adage, and I want this on my tombstone. I'm proud of your success. This is what my mom says. I'm proud of your success, but not always what you say or what you do.
Yeah.
And she's talking about, you know, the things we do on the show, like, you know, the world's biggest, or P1 with the biggest breast contest.
Yeah.
All those different things. Opposite sex. She doesn't like cross-dressing stuff.
Yeah.
Not into that.
Yeah. See, my mom was always kind of the opposite in a way, where it was too much empty praise for anything I did. That was, whether it was good or not, so it was the same. Like if I suck at something, I get the same praise and response from my mom that I would get if I was good at something. And you can't do that to a person.
My mom would be good.
They'll resent you 35 years later over that.
That's your exact age.
Yeah.
My mom would be good in management because she's great at, you know how when you're in trouble with the boss man, he'll call you in and close the door and give you a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the butt.
Yeah.
I always would get the backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to her a couple weeks ago, and this isn't an attack. I love my mom. I'll be very sad when she's gone. I know all that. But every visit ends with, pre-corona, obviously, because, you know, church. When are you going to get back in church?
Well, really? Every visit ends with that?
I'm not exaggerating. Like, generally speaking, it will come back to that. Like, she sent me a card in the mail, and I know she was just all anxious about all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, but it says, I want to know that when I die that I will see you in heaven. And I told her, I didn't write her back.
You're like, I'm not sure that's how this works.
I was like, I don't need to vindicate myself to you.
Yeah.
Is it vindicate?
I don't know. Validate.
Validate.
What are you looking for?
That's the one. Because, like, she doesn't see church the same way I see church. Like, I believe what I believe. I don't necessarily know that I can call myself a Christian anymore because I don't, certain things of that. I have a lot of faith, and I believe in God and in the Bible. I believe in the Bible. But I don't believe in having to go to church to get to heaven. I mean, I know you have a whole different way of thinking about this, Jimmy, but like, I was like, church to me, when I think of church, even as a child, it would be more of a negative kind of thing.
I think being bored out of my ever loving mind.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, obviously, way, not a can of worms to open now, but, you know, a molestation that went on the day I was baptized by the person who administered the baptism.
Yeah.
And then my preacher stole my baseball cards.
Yeah. That stuff happens. There's a dirty side to everything. You know, we're big fans of Righteous Gemstones. And back when that stuff was going on, I mean, it was Jimmy Swaggart era.
Yeah.
So, we've known these things forever. Back in the day, there was a great episode of Miami Vice about a crooked televangelist, too. I mean, this has been prevalent, and especially in Southern Baptist circles for 50 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you throw in, this is something that my previous therapist pointed out to me. I never really thought about, but she said, my mom was a music director at her church. Not a minister of music.
Music director. Yeah.
She was also, at one point, the youth director. She was the vacation Bible school director every year. Wore all these different hats.
Mm-hmm.
My therapist said, you're projecting your anger against the church because the church took your mom's attention away from you.
No.
There may be a little bit to that.
That's jumping to the conclusions a little bit, though.
You should hear some of the things I said.
Oh, okay.
But there's also the fact that, A, you know, the other thing I just talked about very minutely, but the person that you were counting on, and I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sell baseball cards.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I would go do them at baseball card shows. If you ever went to Greenville Mall and bought baseball cards, you were probably buying them from me or something. I was really into him and actually paid for my first wedding with baseball cards.
Yeah, you did.
You're my biggest cheering fan today. Thank you. You're what I needed when I was younger.
I was just saying, yeah, you did.
But my preacher, not an assistant, not the preacher.
Not the youth pastor, but the actual head pastor.
Started getting into baseball cards. And obviously, being the pastor, my parents would certainly let me just jump in the car and go with him to baseball cards.
Well, this is a trusted person.
And we would share tables and booths at these things.
Yeah.
I got back after one of them baseball card shows, and I was very meticulous with them things. I was going through, and there were several cards that I could not find.
Yeah.
And
you remember any of the cards individually?
1955 Bowman, Eddie Matthews stuck out in my mind.
Yeah, okay.
Very, not even that value, maybe $30, $40 or whatever. Probably more then than now. But it wasn't there. And my mom says, well, you probably just left it in his car. Mm-hmm. So she calls the preacher, who lived in a parsonage right by the church.
Yeah, I remember the parsonage. When I grew up in the same, years later, when I was coming up in the same neighborhood, it was empty. The parsonage was empty for years, but I know the house.
It was empty.
Yeah.
They could have let someone, a homeless person.
Yeah, they left it empty for years, man. Like, most of my life.
So she calls the preacher and says, hey, Matthew's missing some cards, some of his better ones. You mind going out in your car or check your cards and maybe see if they got mixed in or whatever?
The only brick house in the neighborhood. Look at you, fancy preacher man.
Red brick, too.
Yeah.
He says, well, Mary, hold on. Not even I'll call you back. He said, let me lay the phone down. I'll run up there and look in the car.
Yeah.
Goes out. No, there's not a single one in the car. I'll go through mine this evening and call you back.
Mm-hmm.
Several hours later, get a call back. He may have left them at the... I'll tell you, it was at Tabs Flea Market.
Oh, okay. I figured it was either Tabs or the Holiday Inn used to be off 85 and Augusta Road.
Boy, you know.
I know where the card shows used to be, yeah.
So,
Clearing in off Haywood.
He calls her back and says, Mayor, he must have left them at the flea market, and you know that. They're probably gone by now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not lying when I said I cried.
Yeah.
I cried my eyes out.
So, meanwhile, the preacher's been, sitting on this throne of lies and further constructing this web of lies, this web of deceit.
Right.
Involving a 10-year-old, the son of his music director, and a faithful parishioner.
Big time.
Okay.
And had been there for several years. And
he's a dick.
Was a guy that I looked up to.
Yeah.
So that happened on a Saturday. We go to church on Sunday. Just something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. Several days go by. On Tuesday, my mom says, I'm going to call the preacher back and just ask him one more time if he was going through the cards. And my daddy says, Mary, if he had found them, you know he would have called.
Because
he knows how upset Matthew was.
Yeah.
She calls him. He says, Mary, I'm not trying to, I don't want to paraphrase because I think he's still alive. I'm not going to say his name, but Mary, no, I'm not trying to be mean or whatever, callous or whatever, but I know my cards, and I went through, and none of Matthew's are in there. I know my cards.
They're not there. I don't have them.
Fast forward to the next day, Wednesday night. We went to church every time the doors were open.
Wednesday night, man, usually eating then. Eating in
sometimes
church.
Sometimes they'd have a bring-your-own-dish kind of deal.
A fellowship hall.
Yeah. We get there, and one of the deacons comes to mom. Now, my mom's the music director. One of the deacons comes to my mom and says, Mary, I need to tell you something.
Oh, no.
He wasn't even the head deacon. He was just regular deacon.
Just regular deacon.
He said, Mary, I need to tell you something. She said, what is it? He said, I know for a fact the preacher has Matthew's baseball card.
Oh, no. How do you know this?
Because he was a trusted friend in the church.
Okay.
Not that he was a bad guy, but I guess the preacher maybe came to him when things were awry and says, what do I do? Like, even look at that. He's the leader of the church, and he goes down to, and I'm not speaking poorly, but I'm talking about the hierarchy of a Southern Baptist church.
Yeah. You have the pastor, and you have the deacon.
We didn't have an assistant.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pastor.
Yeah.
He goes to him and says, and this is where we figured out it was all crap. He says, when Mary called me, I did go through some of those cards and realized that I did have some of Matthew's cards and I lied.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fix this now.
Yeah.
And I'm just going tonight after, that was Wednesday, tonight after church, I'm going to give Matthew his cards back.
Yeah.
So my mom, he tells my mom this, and then my mom calls my dad, and my dad, he wasn't there. He had a second job at night. He says, I'm coming over there. And my mom, she's like, no, don't come to church and beat up the preacher.
Phil's on the way.
He was very mad.
I bet he was.
So my sister was with my dad. It was just my mom and I on Wednesday night. Knowing all this stuff was going to happen, my mom went up and did the first song, directing the music, and then said, I would right now like to resign as music director of Poe Baptist Church.
Oh, man.
It's the church I grew up with, right up the road, Poe Mill.
Right there in the middle of the service, resign.
Right in the middle of the thing. And she was crying her eyes out, and she just looked at me and pointed at the side door, and I stood up and walked out or whatever. And never went back to that church ever again.
Yeah.
There was a meeting that night after church where they wanted to contact my mom, and they did. They said, we want you to come back because we are going to fire the preacher.
Oh, man.
And the preacher was fired, and I was given all my cards except one.
Was it Daddy Matthew?
No. Okay. I did get that one back. I still have that card, and that's I'm holding. Should I get rid of it? Am I holding on to that memory?
Maybe.
I just look at it and I instantly remember that.
Yeah. Well, do you remember which one you didn't get back?
Yeah, 64 Tops Yogi Berra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but I know I didn't sell it. It could have been lost. I'm not going to put that blame on him.
Yeah, he might.
He wouldn't keep just one, right?
Not just that one of Yogi Berra.
I kept an inventory in a notebook. I knew every card. When I'd sell one, I'd mark through it.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what I had.
So so you still never went back to the church even if they fired the guy?
No, we see, that's the other part of the whole weirdness that I have about church is through my childhood with my mom being the music director, even if it wasn't a situation, they used to say I was called to another church.
I was called
to another. And the Southern Baptist churches would have these committees that would almost act as parishioners just visiting the church, and they were headhunting for pastors and music directors.
They were. They would go. You'd go to a smaller church. Church didn't have as much money, as big a budget as yours, and you'd steal people. Absolutely, it was free agency's always been a thing in religion, man.
Yeah. So she was. She was. We visited another church for several weeks, but she was then called to go to a church in Greer.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there was a situation there. It wasn't because of her, but the church. It was
the church split or something.
The story I kind of talked about on the show the other day, where the guy was going to be a deacon of the church and was elected deacon, but they realized that his first wife had died and he remarried, and that broke the covenant of the church.
Yeah.
So then my mom and my dad were like, "Yeah, this is kind of an odd situation here." Church really split right down the middle.
Yeah, that'll happen with the Southern Baptists again. They'll split right down the middle.
And then we went to another church. And then, of course, I ultimately, once I turned 18, that was my way to say, I don't have to go every Sunday.
Is that all why you don't want to, you just don't have any interest in going back? I don't want to go back. I mean, it's not my thing. It's not my place.
Well, you know, it's a combination of
that. Nobody bothers me about it, though.
Well, I don't want to get into it in too much detail because, you know, it's a lot of situations involved. But, I mean, think about the day that you're being baptized, and earlier when I mentioned that, it almost sounded like it was the pastor who did it. But they would have a lady, typically, that was like the one who would have the towels ready for the people when they got out, you know, help them get their clothes.
The baptisms, yeah.
The baptism. And this was a lady that after
all the pastor does is dunk you under.
He dunks you.
Yeah.
You get in the dunk booth. He puts you under, and boom.
Yep.
You go up there and usually see two hands come out to help the person out. That was this kind of lady.
Yeah.
And I mean, she straight up molested me. You know. So you take that on the day you're baptized, raised to walk in newness of life. You're gonna be molested.
Yeah.
At
first
church,
time I saw a naked girl was on a church van, man.
She didn't. No, she wasn't naked.
Yeah, I know. But this was good, though.
Oh, it's good.
But yeah, this made my week, man. This probably made my year.
Yeah.
When I was about 13, yeah.
So if you couple that with the preacher stealing my baseball cards, we later found out that why his breath always smelled really good. Everybody'd say, "Boy, your breath smells really good." He was drinking
schnapps.
No, he was drinking good Lord, mouthwash.
Oh, okay.
He was drinking it to get the alcohol equivalent out of.
Oh,
he was drinking bottles of Scope.
Yeah, well, back in the day, if you were a preacher, where would you go to buy booze? Because you couldn't just walk up in the liquor store, and neither could your wife, because everybody knew y'all.
Knew your car.
Yeah, you'd have to go like an hour away to buy liquor if you were a preacher in the South back in the day.
Yeah. So you take that.
Because all your parishioners would be in the liquor store judging you.
They would be. And they would, the rumor mill. Think it's archaic Facebook, the rumor mill.
Well, that's always the thing I thought, too, is that you're embarrassed to go to the liquor store. Anybody who sees you there only sees you because they're there, too.
That was the old thing. Everybody knew back in the day. I don't know if it's scientific or not or medically proven, but you had sinus issues. You get a little bit of rock and rye, even
rock
as
and
a
rye
kid.
For a cold, man, especially when you get that chest congestion, break it right up.
My mama wouldn't go get any because she was afraid that someone from the church would see her vehicle there and start the rumor mill up. And I'd say, "Mama, Jesus know you's there to help me out with my croup."
Yeah, yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah. So you take that, you take possibly the way that I'm deflecting the way I felt about the attention being on the church by my mom, because she was an employee, but also wore a lot of hats in the church.
Yeah, well, there's always been a lot of hypocrisy in church. And, I mean, in all churches throughout history, because just, you know, the wills of men.
Yeah, it's kind of like finding out, you know, as you grow as an adult, you find out, okay, that's not the way that works. Or I remember when I found out the Federal Reserve was not a branch of the government. It was private bank or whatever. And you think, okay, you know, whatever. But I remember going to my cousin's church, and we sat in the balcony. They had a big church.
Yeah, balcony church was where it's at.
And I'd sit there, and I would watch people go up and just smile so big and hug people. And then
walk away.
The minute they walked away, frown was back.
Yeah.
And I was like, you didn't mean what you said to that person just now.
Yeah, I grew up with the fake smiling, mainly older Southern ladies fake smiling and then just judging people. And it's very, very toxic environment to be in a lot of times. I'm sure there are some great churches where it really is like a family, but a lot of times they're not like that, especially the old school ones.
And a lot of people listening right now could possibly say, "Oh, man, I hate you feel this way. I got a great look." If it works for you, it's just like anything else. If it works for you, it works for you. You know, the way people say, "Oh, you pray, I meditate." It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. That's kind of how I look at the thing, just because all these religions basically tell you the same stuff.
Kind of got a little bit of the same thing. They
kind of
share that.
General message and theme.
Do unto others you want to be done. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Lead a life that means you're at peace when you die.
Yeah.
That's what they all say, is they want you to be at peace when you die so that you can leave this plane of existence.
Yeah. No regrets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you throw that in, and then you find out, you know, the example I was making with the Fed is that you find out, okay, churches also somehow have these rules that they can make where there can't be tattoo shops within so many feet or miles or whatever, but yet they don't pay taxes.
Oh, yeah, there was a huge deal in Greenville for, years back in the 1990s when I was a kid about the Hooters that was across the street from the church.
Right.
It was a huge deal. It was in the news every day for years.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawsuits back and forth. They're just trying to open up a restaurant here in the old bank, and then the church across the street was mad. I'm talking about big mad.
Yeah, but they're not, they don't pay taxes. And look, there's plenty of charities out there that don't do that. But for me, it's hard for you to say, you know, in I don't know, Old Testament or New Testament that says you go by the rules of the good book, but also the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
The law of the land is pay taxes if you're an entity.
Yeah.
So even if you can say all day, well, all these other people don't do it, all these loopholes, well, you still got to go by what the good book says.
That's where it's, it got political, yeah.
Yeah, so I just that's where I just didn't care for the church life anymore. But the other part of the faith life and all that stuff, yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it's just, you know, and it's also, you know, and earlier I said every time I see her, she says it.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably reduce that to maybe 1 in 5.
Well, because
she's gotten better.
It'll stop happening as often.
But it does make me feel like I know how I feel in my heart, but it almost makes me feel a little guilty because even through all that, she can't see why.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you have better reasons why than I can give anybody. I mean, I just have to say, yeah, I'm not really religious. You have valid reasons why you wouldn't want to go, why it'd be an uncomfortable place for you. Like, when you ask me why I don't like it, because I went to a Christian school, and when George H.W. Bush was running for re-election and Clinton was running against him
yeah.
in 1992,
mm-hmm.
I was in class, and, man, I want to say first or second grade at that point.
And I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, I was in first or second grade, and the teacher's, you know, telling us how bad Clinton is. She obviously knew some stuff we didn't know then, but we sure know now.
Uh-huh.
But, first or second grade, we're yeah. years away from voting, but they're already trying. They're already trying to indoctrinate you with what they want you to think. Like, this is a private Christian school.
Yeah.
We're just memorizing Bible verses, and now you're lecturing us about politics in first grade. Like, y'all ain't right.
But you went to, because I know the story about how you met Mikey Carvajal.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a much better church environment.
From the band Islander.
Yeah.
You were close friends with him, and you both went to church a lot. But do you ever have any kind of, or did you just say, I don't
No, that was a fun church when I went to that church at Washington Avenue over yeah. there, the home of the big Judgment House back in the day.
And one of the best Christmas cantatas ever.
Well,
we went to that church for their Christmas cantata.
That was toned way down by the time I got there in the late 90s, but I know it used to be a bigger deal.
Oh,
it was still good.
Ticket. They ran it like a week long. I mean, it was huge to get tickets.
The Judgment House thing went for like a month and a half, man. It went every weekend. I was in it a couple times. Well, a bunch of mission trips to places like Miami and the Audio Adrenaline and Newsboys concerts and stuff back in the day, man. That's just what we did. Yeah, that was a good church environment where we'd go out to the Family Life Center, aka the gym,
yeah.
and you'd eat the food on Wednesday evenings.
Yeah,
it was fun there.
Yeah, but
that was the best church experience I ever had because I mean we'd get a bunch of guys together from Sunday school and watch wrestling pay per views and stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean you know there was. I enjoyed, I want to come back to that, but I enjoyed singing hymns.
Yeah.
Like if there's a local brewery in town that once a Sunday, I think they do a thing called Hymns and Hops.
The good songs.
And they go there and it's like, you know, bluegrass kind of gospel and everybody's drinking beer, but they're singing hymns. Like that's fun. That's communal. I think that's kind of, everybody's in a good mood and that's pushing out good vibes.
Yeah. I did.
Some Beach Boys.
I'm going to bring this up about church real quick. I don't know how many times I've been to church growing up where not as much anymore. People have gotten better about this. But back when I was a kid, you'd hear a lot of the anti-gay sentiment from the pulpit in church.
Right.
You just would. And there was a lot of times you're looking at the music director like, he should leave if they're saying this about him right now.
Why he was?
Oh yeah, y'all, yeah, yeah.
Really?
It wasn't even a secret. He just sits there smiling on up by the pulpit while the preacher's just, you know, railing against his lifestyle and who he is as a person.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that especially at one church I spent some time at as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there was a fun side of church. You know, the youth trips and the
mission trips to Miami Beach and the Florida Keys. Oh yeah.
My mom, I told you, man, my mom went on one to Brazil, and she got other church people to pay for it.
Yeah, and they're like, all
took
right.
Took up a love offering.
The people of Rio need Jesus, because every morning when they wake up, they don't see Christ the Redeemer on top of the mountain looking down at them.
A huge monument.
They obviously don't know about this. We have to go tell them.
Yeah, and that was, you know, so many things. Like, I found out years later that was ran by a travel agency.
Yeah.
You know, all over the world.
Yeah, it's all the crooked things that you find out about, like how crooked church was in the 80s.
Well, it's kind of like that sentiment now where not everybody, but a good portion of people maybe don't trust the government in some form.
Uh-huh.
And it's because there were some bad politicians. There, you know, some people don't trust cops. That's because there were some bad cops. a lot of people don't trust the church body anymore because there was a lot of bad preachers.
Priests. I mean, we can't just limit that, obviously, to what we know, no. Being a Southern Baptist growing up that way. I mean, you know, Catholicism had some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
a lot of awful stuff.
But everything does. You know, everything does.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't identify with having to get up, because to me it was always a show.
Yeah.
It was always a show. It was, and by show I meant by the parishioners. Uh-huh. You know? Yeah, maybe pew idea is a bad idea because there's a separation right down the middle,
yeah,
just like
is.
Congress.
Yeah, sometimes it's separated into thirds.
Maybe just
have
church. Long ass rows.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I wouldn't be opposed to that. But it's interesting because church and religion is a very powerful thing, and a very positively powerful thing. But there are going to be those evil types, those evil forces, those evil people who are going to use that to try to manipulate people for their own benefit.
Yeah.
And they've been very successful because, I mean, it's a trusting audience you go in front of. They're predisposed to trust you a little more because of where they are in church. But it's such a powerful force for good that obviously it's going to be manipulated. It's just, man, the people manipulating it for bad or for their own good, they shouldn't be as successful as they are.
Well, yeah.
They're batting 1,000.
You mentioned the judgment houses. You know, at Poe, my mom, once again, did the annual haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told the story many times. It was a very graphic haunted house. They had an electric chair. I got my head cut off. My daddy had a guillotine.
Yeah, I'm glad they put it back on for you.
You remember what they called it?
Guillotine.
A guillotine
back in the day in the South.
Yeah, he'd fake cut my head off, and you know, I'd chase people out. We had all this blood and gore and stuff, but now it's a judgment house. But the message is, we're going to scare you to come to church.
Oh, yeah, man. And the dude who played the devil when I went to Washington Avenue, he was great. Oh, he was a great devil. He was evil as hell.
I know it's not the intent, you know?
Yeah.
And when I would say things like that back to my mom, I'd say, well, this happened, I don't feel it. She'd throw the example of the story of Lot.
Yeah.
Of how God would throw all these things at him, he had to overcome them. And
yep.
I'm like, well, you know, I don't reckon they're going to put a whole book of the Bible about me in there in the Newer Testament.
Yeah.
I'm not a good example of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the Judgment House thing where they try to scare you, yeah, when you'd go into the hell scene, man, I mean, it was really smoky in there, and it was hard to breathe in there. It was stuffy, and it was smoky, and it was hot in there. They kept it warm. They had space heaters running in there,
yeah,
and smoke machines, and it made it so it was even hard to breathe, especially for the older folk and the big fat people like me as a kid at 11. But then you go from there into the heaven scene, right? The devil. I mean, you see
all the clouds.
The people who every judgment house starts with some kind of accident, car accident, plane crash, something happens where a family dies together, or at least, mm-hmm, a few people die together.
Yeah.
So some of them go to hell, some of them go to heaven. And you go through their journey, through all that backstory, what happened, the accident, and then when they go to hell, and the heaven is the end. So you go to hell, and it's this scary light show and smoke and mirrors and magic tricks and devilism and stuff, and you can't breathe. Then you go to heaven, and not only is it cool in there, like 65 degrees, and it just feels so good. I mean, they're running air purifiers and stuff. So really, you're breathing in just, it feels great.
I got like heaven scentsy.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best air you've had all night because you've been running through the musty old Sunday school classes that haven't been opened in years that are turned into the scenes for the show. And then you go through the hell scene with the smoke machines and the lack of ventilation. So when you get to heaven, the air purifiers and the air conditioning, it is heaven.
They were probably burning some pray-pourri.
It had to be heaven for everybody except the girls wearing angel wings hanging from the ceiling for hours.
Oh, man. They were like...
They'd just be hanging there for hours,
they were
like
dude. That time when Sting, when they were lowering him to the ground and he got like hung
stuck.
Up.
Yeah.
They were just hanging there.
Especially you're dressed like an angel. You're just hanging there for 6 hours every night.
But some of the podunk judgment houses, though, they would have those... It would be like shiny pieces of fabric cut like triangles.
Yeah.
With air blowing on where it's like gimmick flames.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's not going to scare me enough to go to church.
No, yeah,
I need heat. I need to feel like I can't breathe and that I'm not going to ever see my grandma.
Yep. Oh, and it was massively successful because, you know, I mean, evangelism was huge in the 90s. You know how many people got saved in the 90s? Way more than get saved now. Everybody got saved in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know people got saved 6 times in the 90s.
I got baptized twice.
Yeah, see?
Legit. Because a preacher convinced me that that I had not personally, but through the sermon that, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't. Dude, I was 4 or 5 years old.
Well, baptism day gets them offerings way up, dude.
Do you know why I was baptized? Or the first time? Because I've...
Get the offerings up for the church that day?
No, the dreams.
Oh,
I was
okay.
having these reoccurring dreams that the devil was chasing me in
okay.
my dreams. My mom equated that to the devil was coming after me. And I'm not making fun of my mom. She equated that to there was some kind of evil force coming after me and I needed to talk to the preacher. After having a one-on-one in the preacher's office conversation with me, it was decided that I would be baptized on that Sunday.
Yeah, that's a strange thing. Just that whole thing is strange too, because that baptism for that reason seems like more of a Catholic ritual than it does a New Testament evangelical Christian thing to do. New Testament evangelical Christian baptism is I've got saved and I want to be baptized.
It's occultish
and all that.
It's occultish.
But the your story is more like something you'd hear out of a Catholic church. With a priest baptizing a child to protect it and bless it from evil forces.
Well, yeah, and the I hate to even say the word, but the molestation, that was on the second baptism.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I was older. I didn't want you to think 3 or 4 or 5 year old.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's just weird that, you know, it's an odd reason to be baptized.
Yeah, but, you know, the scare tactics and stuff like that, I believe what I believe, and I believe that, you know, look, I should start reversing on her. Well, how am I going to know I'm going to see you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe when you get up there, going to say you aggravated your son so bad, we'll push you.
Has she been going during the pandemic?
She's been watching.
Okay.
Yeah, on.
Why don't you go over and watch with her?
Why don't you shut the hell up? I mean, come on, Jimmy. Good Lord.
You know, she'd love it if you showed up on Sunday morning to watch church with her.
I went on Mother's Day.
To watch church with her?
No. Mother's Day last year. I didn't go this year. I didn't go over there and watch it.
You should go to church without her, and then she'd really be mad.
I should. Well, that'd be a lie.
Yeah.
That would, man, if you lie about going to church, that's like double lying.
Plenty of people have done it.
Yeah, a lot.
Oh,
a lot
of
people.
Yeah. Is it worse to lie about it or show up drunk from the night before?
You know what? It's sad to say I did that one time.
We've all done that.
I showed up. I wasn't vomiting or whatever, but I was really, really hungover. And I felt like, man, if the sky splits open right now and the horses of the apocalypse come, I ain't going to heaven.
I don't want
to
hear that trumpet. I'm hungover.
This right here felt like therapy to me. This felt therapeutic.
It's great to get in here and just talk about stuff. You had a great story to tell there.
Well, you did too. I mean, I've often wondered about that as your friend. Like,
about what?
About, you know, why you felt the way you felt about going to a Christian school, and then, of course, what, you know, kind of moved you away from it as a teen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just always trying to be steered into a certain direction. Man, now I might be the size of cattle, but I ain't cattle. You ain't gonna hurt me.
Put that on a T-shirt. Good Lord. That reminds me of the one that my grandma bought me that time. It had a sheep on it. It said, I'm not fat, I'm fluffy.
Yeah.
And now Gabriel Iglesias has stole my sweatshirt and made a bit out of it.
Yeah, man. I had this shirt from Wings at the Beach one time when I was, this is completely unrelated, but you said the shirt, I got to mention this, from Wings at the Beach when I was a little kid. I'm talking like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
I never could figure out what this shirt meant. It was this giant shirt my mom had got, and it was really soft and comfortable, so I wound up sleeping in it a lot. And I spent years of my childhood trying to figure out what this shirt meant. And it had a yield sign on it. It said, yield, it's more fun. And I finally figured it out when I was a teenager and didn't have the shirt anymore, that it was about having sex. You know, slow down, it's more fun.
Oh, God.
And then I'm thinking, who the hell's having sex wearing this 5XL T-shirt? Lord.
I don't want to see the man or woman.
I don't want to imagine this.
They'd have to tuck it under to get any action
going.
I'm
telling you.
Well, that was a fine episode 2. I look forward to episode 3. Jimmy, you enjoy it?
I'm having fun, man. I want to do more after hours with the Rise guys. We have more to say than we can do in 4 hours.
Yeah, that's true. And if you're listening right now and you're a longtime P1 and you're like, hey, I've always wondered about that, but you never really fully went in on it, or maybe there's more to that story. As 9 says, he will tell the story of where his mom caught him jerking off.
With the cat thing, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That thing.
Yeah.
On to the cat.
Well, yeah. You'll get that story soon, because now I feel like I have to.
Well, yeah. And you also agreed that you would talk about her shatting in the litter box.
And I will.
Okay, fine.
I absolutely will.
All right, that was episode 2 of After Hours with the Rise Guys. I'm Matt Mann.
I'm 9.
We'll catch you back here next Wednesday. Spread the word for us. Let everybody know you enjoy this. Even if you don't, retweet it, share it, and say, this podcast sucks. Listen to it and see if you don't agree with
me. Let them know, man.
All right. We'll catch you back here next week for The Rise Guys. For 93.3 The Planet, I'm Matt Man.
I'm Nine.
We already said that, didn't we?
Yeah, this is for radio.com, too. This ain't got nothing to do with the planet.
And radio.com. Yeah, take that, planet. Ha! We'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.